Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by a former member of the Communards, priest, boxer, Gaelic football fan, broadcaster, the Reverend Richard Coles. He has a new murder mystery out. Second one in the series.
Very nice man. Felt a very real sense of calm in the lovely studio man. When he came in.
Lovely man. He was, wasn't he? Yeah, very nice. That's very true, that. We
Matt
also
Ford came in.
Matt Ford, yeah. Matt Ford, comedian. He's involved in the Spitting Image West End show at the moment.
Yeah.
He's been perfecting some voices, which
he's good at the voices.
He's good
isn't
at the voices.
Do you know what? He's got better at the voices. When he first started out, he was like good at them, but you go,
man. Now he's very good at
them. He's very good at them.
Charlie took us down some terrible road of. You're here. You're here. Don't worry about it.
I do apologize.
And we had a birthday spread.
Yes.
Birthday spread. Quite a game. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie. Let's kick off by congratulating West Ham.
Yes.
It was. You just felt when they got that equaliser, Fiorentina. I was slightly fearful for them. I thought the old momentum's going to change now. But fair play to him. And, you know, that's when you've got Brazil's number 10.
Yeah.
He can thread a ball like that. A good finish by Bowen.
The Moose said yesterday on his way in to Prague, he saw a big sign that said Paqueta on it. He said, that's a sign. Yeah. Paqueta's going to have... it was a sign.
Yeah, but it was. That's a sign. That literally is a sign.
Made myself laugh. Yeah. Sorry, Paul. But in football, football's brilliant, isn't it? I haven't got any skin in the game at all.
No.
And I couldn't care less about West Ham United, if I'm honest. But the people... We've got friends here in the building who are West Ham fans, but even strangers. You know, I was listening to Ali and Alan this morning, and they had callers coming in, and they were crying on the phone, you know, and saying how much it meant to them. And it's such personal stories. And we've gone a generation, haven't we, without winning anything, you know, without West Ham winning anything. It's a generation of fans who've never seen them lift a bit of silver, and it's absolutely everything. No matter what size the trophy, I think it's so important. To win, to try and win and give your fans that experience. It's everything.
They respected the tournament, which was, I think you've got to do. Unfortunately, maybe, because there's players in the current Spurs team who feel the competition's beneath them. But I don't see that level of commitment when they play in the Europa League or as they did in the Conference League. But you've got to commit to it. If you're
look at what it's meant to West Ham winning this and look at what it's meant to the fans. And maybe they'll shift what they think about it a little bit because you go, look at these fans. This cup could be anything for them.
Yeah.
This is absolutely brilliant for the fans. And so it may shift other... You may see... clubs trying to go. I'm not looking at Spurs, Paul, but you may see clubs trying to go further in cups with playing the first teams, not playing weekend sides. You may see that
next
season. You know,
We will be chatting to Tom Rennie, regular guest on the show, broadcaster, podcaster, West Ham fan. He was in the stadium last night.
Oh, great!
What was that experience like?
Yeah.
He's been pretty critical of the team and the manager over the year. We heard from David Sullivan with Jim and Simon earlier on. Who said that if David Moyes wants to stay, he can stay. We'll chat to Tom about that. We'll talk about what happens next. It was a brilliant night, but it's going to be interesting to see. You know, we know definitely it's going to be life after Declan Rice, but they've got to, if they spend that money wisely. And
well, you always call it the Gareth Bale money, don't you?
But I'm talking about spending it wisely. Yeah. Although Christian Eriksen came out of that, so it wasn't all bad. So, yeah, we'll be chatting about that. And we will be also speaking to Luke Graham, who's former Hereford defender. He was a teammate and a skipper of the Hereford side that Jared Bowen broke into as a kid. At a really difficult time for the club. And I think you kind of sense it must have given him a very different perspective on what football's like at that level. You know, he's not one of those kids necessarily that came from a Premier League academy.
They seem cut from the same cloth, don't they? It's sort of your Jamie Vardy, isn't it? Your Jared Bowen. They seem like there's an edge.
I think it gives you an appreciation of... I mean, Luke will tell us about it, but, you know, it gives you an appreciation of at that level. It's not about Maserati's. It's about paying the mortgage and stuff like that. But anyway, we'll see what Luke made of it. So there would have been a lot of ex-players, former teammates, watching those games last night and thinking of the early days of those players who played in that match. We'll also be heading over to Tokerade, where it's a bit of an open day today as we start to build up to the big match. And we'll be hearing from some of the stars of soccer.
I don't know if we'll be speaking to Maisie Adam, comes on the show now and again, because when I played a couple of weeks ago in Alex Horn's game at Chesham United, about 5 minutes to go, I did quite a heavy challenge on Maisie Adam.
Did you really?
Not on purpose, but she did hit the deck quite hard. And then I looked to see who I had tackled, and it was Maisie, who I know is getting married, I think, very, very soon.
Limping up the
aisle. And had soccer aid. And I was like, this is probably not the person to...
Was it a bad challenge? Was it a hard but fair challenge?
It was late.
Did she say anything? Did she have a word?
She got up.
Yeah.
And then about 2 minutes later, she got the ball outside the box and wanged it into the top corner with the best goal of the game.
See? Playing angry. Beautiful.
Absolutely very good.
Owen Cushion. Congratulations to him. He's just joined Wrexham.
Yeah, congratulations to him.
And more congratulations from Andy in Bolton. Congratulations on his forthcoming wedding to Whoopi Goldberg. Yeah. There we are.
I don't know if we'll get any more. It's a dream, isn't it?
Chilling. There'll be the Goldberg cushions, I would imagine. Though, of course, I think, knowing Whoopi.
That's not like I do. That's like Beyonce marrying Roy Castle, isn't it? You get Beyonce Castle.
Yeah.
That's along those lines. But
so if you could let us know. We're looking for some TV formats, Rowan. I'm sure it'll work out at Wrexham. Most things do. But if it doesn't, a little bit of telly for him, if you've got any ideas. I only ever saw him dance once, was Charlie's choice today. This, of course, it takes us back to the dressing room in Prague last night. And actually, there's been some brilliant pictures of David Moyes. A lovely stuff with his dad, which was fantastic.
Yeah, beautiful, yeah.
And there was pictures 4 a.m. in the centre of Prague. And it's all the young players, all, you know, jolly, haven't had a drink. And David's with them. And it is definitely dad on a stag do.
Dad on a stag.
Now, you can go back whenever you like, Dad. No, I'm fine.
I can keep up with you,
honestly,
lad.
No, if you want to go back, we'll get you an Uber. I don't want an Uber. I'm absolutely fine asleep in the corner of the club, sitting right next to the speaker. Yeah. So,
but it looked like he'd never danced in his life, Paul.
Yeah.
He was dancing to 500 Miles by Proclaimers. Yeah. And it looks like he cannot believe it that he's dancing. You know, but if you've got stories of seeing somebody you had never seen dance.
Yeah, I only saw them dance once.
And then you've never seen them dance since. I only ever saw them dance once. We'll have those,
Maybe Dad on the Stag Do could lead us into
Dad
that.
On the Stag Do.
Dad on the Stag Do. And also, I was a bit tight on you there, Charlie, because Wu-Tang Clan have been going since the mid-90s.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're going to be completely down with the kids. But you're going to go and meet them all?
No.
Wouldn't it be lovely this lovely, polite British PR gets involved? Charlie, come back. Come and meet the band.
Come and meet the
this
band.
This is Ghostface Killer. This is Inspector Deck. He's not a policeman, apparently. I got very confused.
Don't worry. Don't empty your pockets.
I got quite... This is Method Man. It'd be great, wouldn't it? Like Julie Waters playing the part. It'd be great, wouldn't it? Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Gareth the Leeds fan, Cushion the Fall. I don't know if that's anything to do with Mark E. Smith.
It
looks into the history of skydiving.
Oh,
so,
right.
Okay, we'll see on Discovery.
I prefer Mark E. Smith jumping out of planes.
Oh, you, yeah.
Or landing.
Back in the day, of course, sadly, no longer with us.
Oh, of course, yeah, I do apologise.
Okay, well, two different stories. I know you're more Wu-Tang Clan than The Fall, aren't you, clearly?
Lee Holland says, Pincushion, a programme where we will try and predict a random set of four number... Oh, it's celebrity combination locks. He was knocking the lock. Lee, you are never allowed on the lock.
We're not having that. Definitely no knocking of the lock.
Let us... Plenty of pushing for the cushion is mine. Okay. Is mine. It's Owen Cushion pushing various things up a hill.
Yeah.
Of different weights.
Right. That's exactly what that means.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Some of the pictures of the West Ham fans sort of having West Ham players out and about in Prague at sort of 4 a.m. And the thing I was, when you ever go, you've been to Prague, Charlie?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
It's got a CNA. There's still a CNA there for beautiful fans of old
coats and hats, as we used to call it.
Yeah, long lamented stores. And it looks like Seafowl's outside CNA.
He can't believe this shot.
He's gone in there. There's fantastic. Oh, wow, look at that. That's nylon. It's 100% nylon. Get me into that. He's going to stand outside until it opens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Picture of him earlier on. Quite a lot of them with dark glasses on. Got nothing to do with the fact it's sunny.
No, it's got real vibes of the morning after the Ashes win in 2005.
Yeah, I think the fans had a lot of fun.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We did mention, of course, our Soccer Aid Lucky Dip.
Yeah.
Was just that. We didn't know who we were going to speak to. We're not speaking to anybody.
All right.
Because there's nobody there yet.
Come up blank.
But we're working on it.
We'll find someone.
Someone could pop up at any minute.
They'll all be training, Paul. They're trying to get in the team.
We've got a mixture of pros and celebs. So who knows who's going to pop up?
You don't know.
Work on the basis we know they are. I'm sure we will, and we'll have questions for them, which again I'm sure we will.
Exactly. Someone will turn up eventually,
and then Matt Ford's going to join us to do a bit of Forest, tell us about lovely spitting image and other matters besides. He's been perfecting a Keir Starmer impression, apparently. It's getting better and better.
Keir Starmer. I don't know that one.
Informer
is the song I was doing.
Fair enough.
Is that a Wu-Tang Clan? I don't know many Wu-Tang Clan songs.
Okay, fair enough.
It's rapping. I know it's rapping. Yeah. Look, my brother wanted to go. I was meant to be going with my brother.
Right.
I got the tickets, sorted the tickets out. He can't go.
Dad's at the gigs.
So now I'm going on my own.
I've
done it before. I've been to see Public Enemy before. That was a good night. But it is, what do you wear to the gig? It is
You feel a bit.
No, I don't really
want to start.
Full tracksuit.
No, it's not. No. Not a good look.
Full shell suit, Paul?
No, Charlie, I don't think that's a great idea. I just, that's not. Don't be doing that.
So. You don't think backwards cap?
No.
Like the Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Some of them will be in looking like that.
Yeah.
But I definitely do.
Yeah, of course, yeah. When we went to see Public Enemy, my brother paid for us to go and meet Chuck D afterwards.
Wow. Right?
Chuck D and Flavor
Flav. What does Chuck D charge for a meet and greet?
Well, I don't think Chuck D was that involved in it, if I'm honest, because I think it was like 30 quid cash, right? I don't think...
That's a cash Chuck D up.
Anyway, we got back and Chuck D had left.
Right.
Chuck D had gone.
Who pocketed the 30 quid then?
Well, Flavor Flav was very keen to meet us.
Really?
The three of us who'd paid it, right?
Right.
It was a bit embarrassing, if I'm honest, but the bloke next to me, who was older than me, was like in his 50s.
Wow.
Went to Flavor Flav. He went, he put on this sort of accent, this sort of American accent. And he was sort of going, I listened to Public Enemy all the way through school. I learned more history from that than from any school book. I didn't learn no history from no school book. He was saying it like this to Flavor Flav, and it was like, come on, mate.
Oh, okay.
This is ridiculous. Flavor Flav was not telling him what time it was.
That's the first thing you're always going to ask. You've got the time, mate, really, isn't it? So, if you've been the dad at the gig, as Charlie is going to be, what do you wear when you're going to see?
What am I going to wear? Wu-Tang Clan.
Matt Ford has joined us, comedian, Forrest Hand. Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon, fellas.
What do you think Charlie should wear for Wu-Tang Clan?
I don't know. I mean, that sounded like when John Terry was showing people around the Chelsea training ground. That was taking cash in a wash bag for 30 quid. What on earth are they doing?
Allegedly.
Charlie, I think you should just wear what you're wearing.
Yeah,
now.
I think I'm just going to go as myself. Because the whole thing about hip hop is be yourself, isn't it?
That's right. Fordy,
that's the thing. It's true. Be honest. Be honest in your soul.
Yes.
So that's what I'll just turn up in this full kit, this full talkie kit I've got on.
Yeah, just
now.
Wear your full talkie kit.
Or you just go as white as possible, like three people. Go like Jacob Rees-Mogg, double-breasted suit.
Yeah, that would be the pocket
that'd
square.
Be nice. Yeah,
that'd be marvellous.
Bowler hat.
Well, Matt, Matt, lovely to see you. We'll come on to football.
Excellent.
Spinning Image, Idiots Assemble, is on in the West End currently, isn't it?
Yes. West End musical writer.
That's right. And, well, and of course, talking to a West End musical star in Charlie, who's got far more experience in these things than I have, but... It's incredible. So Al Murray, the pub landlord, myself, and an amazing man called Sean Foley wrote this thing together.
Yeah.
And I just can't believe Spitting Image had never been done live before. When you put those puppets in front of people and they get to see them live, the puppeteers just disappear. It's as if... And obviously we start with a blank page, so we could assemble our own cast.
Yeah.
So you've got Tom Cruise with Angela Rayner, Greta Thunberg, Stormzy, Jurgen Klopp, Harry Kane with... Tony Blair, Margaret Thatcher, Xi Jinping and Putin. So it's just pop music, Taylor Swift. You've just got this mad representation of everything, the world we live in 2023.
Mm.
And you just throw it all together. And the songs, I mean, in a way, I don't feel like I can take much credit for it. I co-wrote it and I'm in it. But there are so many other amazing, talented people in it. The puppeteers, the composers, the people who make the music work. It's this insane, immersive, mad... It's like going into... You know, I don't know if you've been to Disneyland Paris.
Yeah,
it's the only one I've been to. But the rides there are so much better than the rides we have here. And it's almost like you're taken on a journey through this immersive world. And that's what Spitting Image Live is like. You are just completely... You feel like you're in Downing Street and then you're at Britain's Got Talent and all the other places that we take the show.
Wow. It's
the magical... immersive power of the stage.
Because of the nature of the way the puppets work, there is a bit of the war horse about it. That you kind of obviously see that they're being worked, aren't they? They're puppeteers and you kind of see them on there, but that's almost part of the show, aren't they?
Yeah, and you really appreciate it. But it's amazing what your mind does. They do just sort of blend away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with Spitting Image, obviously on telly, you never saw the puppeteers. You only ever saw the puppets from the waist up. But with these, they dress their bottom halves as the character. And depending on where you're sat, you could believe that Tyson Fury really is there duetting with Keir Starmer or whatever, you know, whatever sort of mad soup we've made of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Really
so
does.
You're at the musical most nights. Are you attending? You're sitting at the back. Is it like, it's like the producers. You're standing at the back of the stage making sure they love it or not.
I do sit at the back and take notes because things, you know, when you think things need to change, whatever. And it is, what's mad about it is, with stand-up, if a joke doesn't work the following night, you just change it.
Yeah.
With this, you have to rewrite it. You have to find whoever voiced it in the first place, get them into a studio and get them to re-record it. And then the puppeteers have to re-practice that line. So any change is a big deal.
Yeah.
It's just a completely different experience to doing stand-up.
And with characters where events are changing all the time, I suppose you're having nods to what's going on, aren't you? I mean, you're tweaking the script all the time.
Yeah, so we did a run in Birmingham earlier in the year, and Nicola Sturgeon resigned during that run, and she's quite prominent in it. So we had to quickly re-record her bits. But in a way, it's kind of really helped the character. And once you've set up a show where you've got the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition, as well as a load of celebrities that are always in the news, people like Gary Lineker and Elon Musk and whoever else, in a way, that sort of helps promote the show because people are coming to see characters that are always very prominent in our mind. And if you can just tweak those jokes to make them even more topical, then... the whole thing just takes it to another level.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk Forest and more with Matt Ford with us in the studio. He's been working on the Keir Starmer. I think we'll get a little burst of that for you as well.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance.
UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Comedian and Nottingham Forest fan Matt Ford is with us in the studio. He's been telling us about Idiots Assemble, Spitting Image, the musical, which is currently on at the Phoenix Theatre in London till August the 26th. And, your Keir Starmer, I understand, has been coming on a storm.
Yeah, he's sort of become a running... So I do Boris Johnson and Donald Trump and a few of the others, but Keir Starmer's kind of one of the surprise hits of the show.
Right.
Because I think, first, no one else is impersonating him, Paul. So there's that element. I want to come to Talk Sport on behalf of the Labour Party and congratulate Arsenal on Champions League football. Yes, we missed out on the Premier League. Now, there's that slight trailing off thing that he has. So he's a running joke. And I just think because people have not heard impersonated before, then there's a cachet to that. Because there's lots of people who do Boris and Trump, and that's a good thing. But I think Starmer... it's kind of new. And that's one of the joys of Spitting Images. When it's a new person and a new puppet and a new voice, there's a novelty to that. And that's a cachet of updating it in 2023. So he's one of the more... he's kind of like a running gag in it.
Yeah.
I suppose it must be if you're the first person to attempt the voice. Like when I see someone and think, well, how on earth... that sounds just like a normal voice. I can't imagine what you'd pick out from the way he delivers anything or the way he speaks... what you'd pick out to impersonate that. But I suppose what your ear is learning, working out where you put it in your voice. You know, is it in my nose? Is it in my throat? Is it in the whole of my head? All those things. Where you put it, who does it sound a bit like? So you can change another impression to sound like that. You know, and then I think a lot of impressions become impressions of the first person who did the impression.
That's right. Yeah. That's all absolutely true. And with him, I watch a lot of it anyway. So a lot of the voices I do are either... politics or sport, really, because that's all I watch on telly. So with Starmer, I think a lot of the time, if you just make your body, he's quite upright and his arms are up here, and he sounds a bit
go with it.
Tied up tight.
It's a bit Prime Josh Whittacombe as well, isn't it?
It's a bit Josh Whittacombe at him. I don't think we should be voting Labour at the next election. It's that sort of thing. And it's a bit Ed Miliband, you know, So there's that sort of nasal thing in there. And then obviously, I mean, I just started doing Sunak, I don't do him in the show, but you know, he's got that whole, management speak. And it's a bit like Tony Blair. It's a bit like the guy off the in-betweeners. But he's got that sort of bouncing stuff going on. I think sometimes if you just make yourself move a bit like the person, shape your mouth like them, then, come on, guys. You know, I love Talk Sport. Big Southampton fan. And they're that sort of, they're both kind of got those traily offy voices that most people don't have.
And so do the puppeteers pick up on those? Do the puppeteers do anything that you think, oh, actually, I didn't notice that they did that?
Oh, yeah, all the time. And because they're puppeteering along to the voice track, with Paulie Shawn's, then the puppet can start doing that. With Donald Trump, everybody says it. And they'll just move bits differently.
Yeah.
You think, man, this is incredible because it kind of looks like the person, it sounds like them, and it moves like them.
Yeah.
And there's a part of your brain, on some level, every night I've sat in that auditorium, that I genuinely feel like I've just been with the Queen, Donald Trump, Harry Kane, Gareth Southgate, and Tom Cruise. Like, on some level, I believe I've been hanging out with RuPaul. Yeah. Because the experience is so complete.
Yes. Now, so we haven't seen you since Forrest stayed up.
Wow.
God.
Yeah.
Wasn't that amazing?
It's amazing, isn't it? Because when you have friends who are support a team... and not many people support that team. You have sort of one person in your... Swansea City, I immediately think of Ellis James and think, Ellis will love that they've won. And of course, Forrest. Matt is Forrest in my head, you know.
Yeah.
The whole of Nottingham Forest is Matt Ford. I've been to Nottingham Forest with Matt, you know. And of course, so that day when they stayed up, it's like Matt will be going beside himself. Just absolute joy
to
for him.
It, to beat Arsenal as well, to secure it. What a feeling.
I kind of thought we'd do that. And not just in that... after we lost to Leeds away, I was convinced we were down. And then beating Southampton, I thought, oh, man, you don't want to have the false hope. But in the run-up to that Arsenal game, just because of the state they were in and what they'd been through, and we were at home and we're brilliant at home, and the atmosphere there has been incredible, and the Brighton game and all that, it kind of felt like we were going to do it. And I was just gutted not to be there. I had to watch it on telly. with a 0% Peroni because I'd work the following morning. I was like, this can't, doesn't feel. I'm sat at home in a tracksuit with non-alcoholic lager. This is rubbish. It was still amazing, obviously. I'd rather have stayed up than be there. But it does feel odd when you've been present at so many moments for your football club in their history.
Yeah.
To not be, you do kind of feel like you're not part of the celebrations in a way.
So
which is magic.
You don't obviously you don't want to be in this situation again next year. I mean, have you given any thought what you'd like to see happen for next season?
You know, I don't know if you saw much of the post match interview with Mr. Marinakis, our owner. He was talking about trophies, and he was just like, "Oh man, this is what we got to the semi-finals of the League Cup this year."
Yeah.
I mean, had we been in the other, you know, the draw gone the other way, we'd have probably got to the final. So it was an incredible season in the end. And a lot of those players that we got mocked for signing turned out to be really, really good at football, which is great. So I kind of feel like now that we've survived this first season, not that we will be playing European football next year or anything like that, but you can see now a way forward for Forest, I think, where we'll do all right.
Have you got a Steve Cooper in your locker? Can you work on the managers or not?
Do you know what? The only person I've been doing recently is Jack Grealish, and I just think it's because he's got that, you know, like, I don't know, really. Like, I think because he sounds a bit like a stoner.
I like
puppets are mad, aren't they? Because, like, it looks like the person, but it ain't the person. He's a really funny person to, like, explore. So sometimes, for my own amusement, I'll sit at home and think, what would Jack Grealish say about the INF?
Yeah.
And I'll be like, because, like, you need money. And then, like, someone's got to be in charge of it. Like, a mate of mine does Bitcoin and I don't get it. But, like, I don't know what the IMF do. Like, where do they borrow money from? Like, do I lend them money, then they lend it me back? I'm like, my dad used to do that. Is he in the IMF? And, like, this is like a... You can take any topic in the world. Yeah. And if you can see it through the eyes of Jack Grealish.
Jack
it's a really
Grealish
funny
on
way to go.
Could be a new, couldn't it? The balance of payments deficit. It would be fantastic. Just explaining it. Just his slightly sideways take on it.
I don't know if you've got the calves, though, for that, to do that live, Matt.
No, I haven't, no. Not the hair.
Show. Got some live shows coming up?
Yeah, oh God, I'm doing the Edinburgh Festival.
Oh, okay.
Inside Number 10, which is like a play on Inside Number 9.
Yeah, lovely, yeah.
And I'm running out of puns, basically, so now I've got to go in a different direction for my titles. But that's at the Edinburgh Festival for the whole of August, and then I'll tour it next year.
Fantastic. And you do your podcast still, don't you?
Oh, yes!
Yeah.
The political party. So every other Monday, I interview a politician on stage. Yeah, and Margaret Beckett's doing it next week, week on Monday. Mm. And then I've got Joe Lycett's coming on.
Oh, lovely. Wow, that'd be interesting.
Mari Black. Dan Jarvis and I'm so excited about this, Jason Williamson, who's the lead singer of the Sleaford Mods.
Oh, okay.
The punk band from Nottingham is coming
on. They're on tour, aren't they? Great.
So I'll try and get people on. So Gary Neville's been on, and you know, people are sort of around politics as well, rather than just people in the House of Commons, to broaden it out a bit.
Yeah, fantastic.
It's all right, isn't it?
Great, isn't it?
Oh, they're from Nottingham.
Yeah.
Cool dudes,
I mean,
man.
No Wu-Tang Clan, but you know.
Well, yeah, that's right. What should Charlie wear?
Just dress comfortably, Charlie. Some big beats to bounce to. Enter the Wu-Tang 36 Chambers is the definitive...
36 Chambers?
I did that on purpose.
Oh, okay. Is that how they sing it?
It's the definitive hip-hop record. Well, and then RIP to the ODB, you know, but 36 chambers.
Somebody wants to go the full Gaisca Mendieta, go full black tie dinner suit to the
gig.
That'd
be nice.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, do that.
Lovely, yeah.
Depends on the venue, doesn't it? Where are you seeing
them? The O2. So, you know, going to be anonymous, aren't I? I don't think they're going to see me.
Seated or stood?
Seated, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. No
one's seated. You're going to be sat down watching them.
The Wu-Tang. Cup of tea.
Fantastic. Yeah. Go on, Ghostface.
Just have a coffee, thanks.
Go on, Ghostface, off you go.
One or two of the listeners have said, go and check out Primark. They do a Wu-Tang Clan range.
All right, I could go full kit Wu-Tang.
Yeah, fantastic. FKWT. Charlie Baker, FKWT. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah.
Full kit Wu-Tang.
Lovely to see you, Matt. Best of luck with the show.
Thank you so much.
People can buy their tickets online. I take it for Spitting Image.
Yes, go to spittingimagethemusical.com.
Yep, excellent.
What venue in Edinburgh?
The Pleasance Courtyard in the Beyond, and Spitting Image is on at the Phoenix Theatre.
Good stuff. Good to see you. Thanks very
much. Cheers, fellas. You're in.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker here on Talk Sports.
Pat Cummins with a wicket there, Paul. I know we're not covering it, but we are watching it. You and I and Pat Cummins. I don't want Pat Cummins to be taking wickets this summer, Paul.
No,
I want him to look out of his depth.
Rohit Sharma's gone for 15. They are 30-1 now in reply to 4-6-9. That's what the Australians scored.
Yeah, I don't like it. Ominous, too many, Paul.
Yeah, it's a bit too much. Yeah, John Norman feeling it wasn't a 4-6-9 wicket, so that was a pretty good score. But anyway,
Phil's been in touch.
Oh, yeah.
He's because I'm going Wu-Tang Clan next week, and you said, what should I be wearing? And also, you want dads at the gig or dads on the stag.
Yeah, dads at the gig. Have you done that with your boy yet? When they're a bit too young to go on their own?
Not yet. We went, when he was really little, we went quite a lot to... quite a lot of festivals, music festivals and that sort of stuff, and they sort of just bounce around to anything there. But no, he's not asked me to take him yet.
Right.
But now he's a bit too old. He's 16 now.
Mine was very young, but it was Franz Ferdinand, a band I like anyway, so it was no great hardship. Ali Pally, which is not far from where we are, where we live. So, but it was very interesting because he went with a mate, and they're saying they were both sort of a bit too young to go on their own.
Yeah.
So, but it was interesting. Just at the back, I just got my... I was driving, got myself a half, stood at the back... And I just looked around me and it was just loads of dads with halves.
You ever seen the picture of the dad at the, I think it's a One Direction concert, and he's just stood there with earphones and hands over his ears because there's all these girls screaming around him just at this One Direction, very funny.
So anyway,
Phil's been to a Slipknot concert.
Slipknot. That's
Phil.
Great.
I've been to a Slipknot concert with my 11-year-old son.
Yeah.
I was dressed in my 80s casual clothing. Well, surrounded by leather and pressed studs. That's seeing Danta's band, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is.
Is that it? Leather and pressed studs.
I think it is.
And me keeping on saying, no, let's not get too close to the stage.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, so he stood with them.
I didn't do that.
I just kept a bit of an eye on them and got out of the way. I didn't want to cramp their style,
I bought my lad, Stan, a ticket for Reading Festival.
Yeah.
And everyone sort of looks at me like, you sure?
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? And then a few would go, well, on the third day, that's when they start burning each other's tents.
Yes.
I'm like, all right, okay, I'll pick him up on the third day then, if that's what's going
to
happen. You know,
so let us, Dan's at the gig. There's still time to squeeze a few more of those in talksport.com. Text 1889, tweet TSH and J.
He's doing his calculator. He's doing his GCSEs at the moment, my son. And he had calculator maths the other day, which is... your maths exam, but you're allowed to take a calculator, which does feel a bit like cheating.
Mm.
But I wondered if there was a part of it. You know, you used to write stuff on a calculator, Paul? Shell oil? I was aware of it.
I wasn't big into it.
Not writing shell oil on the
profanities,
on the
I take it you did mainly.
Boobs.
Yeah, boobs.
Boobs was always boobless. You could do like that, boobies.
Right.
Like that. Yeah,
was it quite... A bit quiet down the West Country in those days, was it?
I can't think of any more.
All my mates had come round. My mum and dad went out. We'd all get round the calculator.
We didn't have the internet then.
Edgy.
We didn't have the internet. We just sit around. You've got the Casio. Get the Casio out.
Lock the door in case your dad comes in. We've got the Casio out.
Look what I found in this hedge.
Yes.
It's a calculator with boobies written on it.
This time of year... The producer, this wants you to stop saying
eight,
that.
8-0-0-8-1-3-5.
You're not 11. I know you enjoy saying the word, but that's not big or clever.
If anyone else used to spell anything else on calculators, let us know.
Considering the time of day.
We can read them out. If they're clean, we can read them out.
If they're clean. It struck me that Nicolas Pepe, to change the subject, has gone back to Arsenal. He's not wanted. He's not being bought by the club he was on loan.
£40 million, Pepe,
A bit more, wasn't he? Hasn't really worked out. And I'm not singling him out. There's a bunch of players from all different clubs around the country that are going. They probably will have to go back to training. And imagine it's a bit eggy. You think it's probably the last time you've ever seen him. And you give him and you think, well, we won't see him again.
Yeah.
And maybe there's a few relationships. Chips broke down.
Yeah.
But it must be a bit of a weird feeling.
Bridges.
Having to go back when you don't want to, and probably, you know, the manager doesn't see a future for you.
I can imagine.
Strange.
It's wages. It's always wages, isn't it? It's what wages can they get? If Arsenal have put Pepe on great wages, then, you know, then it's a nightmare for him, isn't it?
Shubman Gill has just gone for, I think,
£30 for two.
Yeah. He's gone, he's gone completely.
Bowling, one for naught.
That's right.
Wow. Good figure, isn't it?
So that's, they're two down. They're 30 for two, India, in reply to 4-6-9.
Tom in Essex used to write leads on his calculator. Thank you, Tom. You see, people can be clean with it,
Paul. That's right. Clean and a touch boring. But certainly Certainly clean.
You can spell Hibs on a calculator.
Can you?
There we are. I don't know. How would you spell Hibs on a 4, a 1, a 9, and a 5? Turn it upside down. There we are.
The fact it's off the top of your head just proves how many hours in Torquay you spent doing that. It's amazing, isn't it, really?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker here on TalkSport. We play that because we are joined by a former member of the Communards.
Yes.
Is the Reverend Richard Coles. Good to see you, Richard.
Hello. How are you, Charlie?
Do you still enjoy listening to those old tunes?
Yeah. Well, I'm more likely to listen to, I don't know, kind of... But most of the old ladies who I'd visit, the old people, said it was YMCA was their favourite. And the sound of people with restricted mobility trying to do the hand action. The YMCA is something that will stay with me forever.
Oh, yeah. How did you get into the music industry?
Well, I just turned up in London. I was a chorister when I was a kid, so yeah. I kind of grew up music and everything. And I ran away to London to live my life in 1980. And one of the first people I bumped into happened to have the most distinctive voice of the decade. That was Jimmy Somerville.
Yeah.
And so he needed someone to play the piano, basically, and I could do that.
Yeah, fantastic.
You sort of multi-instrumentalist, aren't you?
Well, that's rather flattering.
Is
way
it really okay?
It. Yeah, well, I can bash out a tune.
I've got a banjo next door. That's how many kidding.
Do you know, well, I don't know I don't play the banjo. I'd love to. I can bash out a tune on an accordion. I used to play the saxophone as well, but a long time ago now.
Now, we're going to have a chat about it. You'd written non-fiction before, but until recently, not fiction, but Murder Before Evensong was your kind of murder mystery that came out recently, and you've followed that up with A Death in the Parish, with a lot of the same characters.
Yeah, it's a continuing series. There's this vicar detective called Canon Daniel Clement, who lives in this lovely little village, Champton St. Mary. There's a big house, an aristocratic family lives there. He's got a feisty mother and two dachshunds. Any resemblance to any person living or dead is a coincidence. And all of a sudden, this world is turned upside down because murderous rage springs up from nowhere and it all goes horribly wrong. And he has to kind of figure out what's going on and why.
So Champton, again, is a bit like Midsummer. It's like there's the kind of body count of Detroit. Yeah. I mean, these places are just...
I think they're sort of tables of mortality are not great. Don't move to Champton, St. Mary, folks. You're better off in Honduras.
Well, I do live where they film Midsummer Murders.
Oh, really?
That is where I live. There is a Midsummer tour. Where I live.
Do the streets run red with blood?
Oh, the insurance costs are so high.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's a nightmare.
Must be. Was this kind of scratching an itch? Had you always fancied doing something like this? Or are you a fan of the genre, I take it?
Yeah.
Right?
First proper book I ever got was the Sherlock Holmes short story. Oh, so I love this idea of your kind of murderous mysteries being solved by these enigmatic figures. So that was good. I've always written. And then after a while I thought... And also being a vicar is being a detective, actually. A lot of it is very similar kind of role. My brother in real life was a detective. We used to kind of swap notes sometimes. And so writing a lot, I like to write, vicar detectives, just sort of came together and I thought, well, I'll have a go. And I really enjoyed doing it.
Yeah. Who are you casting as it in the TV?
I'll take it.
TV adaptation.
It does feel very telling.
Yeah, who's your dream cast?
The script is done. And I do have somebody in mind for Daniel Clement. And the bloke who did the adaptation, he said, there's only one person who can play this. And I said, who? And he said the same name. But I'm not going to say
that's
who.
That's brilliant. Oh, wow. Well, that's exactly what you want, because then otherwise that would be a bit of a frustration, because you've probably got someone in your head.
We both thought exactly the same person. Well, that's so good. We'll fingers crossed about that.
You can tell us off here. Yeah, we won't tell anybody, don't worry.
What's the difference between a canon and a reverend? I mean, do we still call you reverend?
Well, you can if you want. But Richard's fine. A canon is a sort of honor. It's like a knighthood. So sometimes some jobs have canon attached with them, but it just means someone has usually got a bishop out of a hole.
Draw a line over that.
So that was very unfortunately phrased. Yeah, ignore that bit.
So it's interesting. The book says Reverend Richard Coles. You are still a reverend, but you don't have a parish anymore, do you?
No, I retired from parish ministry last year, so I'm now this kind of weird figure roving around. having a thing called a weekend, which I hadn't had for a long time. So I spent a lot of time going to see friends and going to see football and doing all sorts of exciting things.
You can't exactly ask for Sundays off, can you?
Yeah. Not really. It's not really done. No.
So it's a bit like doctor. You cannot, even if you're no longer a frontline medic, you're always a reverend.
You have to remember you're not a vicar. So in my new place, I now live down in East Sussex, and in my new place there's a very good vicar called David, and I have to remember that I'm not the vicar anymore. So don't smile at people if you're not wearing a dog collar, because it just looks creepy.
Does he get intimidated? I mean, if you're suddenly you come in and I say, we used to do it differently in the old days. I mean, is it when you does the current vicar get a bit intimidated?
No,
do you think?
I'm sure he does. He doesn't get intimidated by anything, least of all me. But you just sit at the back and don't say anything. That's probably. I sometimes want to have the hymn book numbers and hold them up like Strictly scores, but I haven't quite dared do that.
We did Strictly, of course, didn't you?
Strictly did me. I think would be a better way of putting it, Charlie. I did. I think it was the worst passage. Doble they've ever had in any territory in the world.
Oh dear.
Was it an enjoyable experience?
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah. It was horrible to be sent home, but I mean, I couldn't really quibble with the judgment of the public. But no, it was brilliant because you're working with the people who are best at what they do.
Yeah.
A bit like being at TalkSport, folks.
Yeah.
And it was really, really good fun. I learned more about hair and makeup and the kind of surprising places glitter will go. than I ever thought imaginable. And also what to do with a spray tan. Change those white bed sheets.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's good on the dog collar the next day.
Not really. I think I am the only vicar, I'm sure this is right, the only vicar who has spray tanned with Debbie McGee.
Oh, well, there's a Channel 5 show waiting to happen.
There's a whole reality format in that.
So I would imagine when people, did you have a parish when Strictly was on? Did
yes.
you at that time? So people would have been leaving on a Sunday morning and you're saying goodbye to them, thank you, and they're saying, we saw you last night, you know, we can't wait for the, fingers crossed for the voting. It must have been like the talk of the town, wasn't
well,
it?
Well, yeah, it was a bit really. Mm. And then, of course, I sort of crashed out quite early on, mercifully, and everyone who put up like, whoa, Richard from Strictly, had to take down all the little posters from the windows and stuff. And I could sort of get back to work, which was probably a good thing.
Yeah. So what's the sport connection? What's the Gaelic football connection?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, no, a big GAA. Well, I have Irish family, and one of them played a significant part in GAA, actually, in the Celtic revival. He was a Church of Ireland minister, actually. And I started watching Normal People, and I started watching this funny game of football. That ball's a funny shape. We picked it up. I'm sure that's not in the rules. And then I kind of started watching it, and I tweeted about it. And then I got in touch with St Finbar's, the Bars, who are my club in Cork, which is where I have this family connection. So I'm now a spirited, if ignorant, fan of Gaelic football.
Fantastic.
What was it about it then? Just the kind of little snatches in that drama was enough to kind of intrigue you to follow it up?
I was a sort of late adopter of sport because you'll find this hard to believe, but when I was young and at school, I wasn't the sportiest boy around. And I didn't get into I lived in Islington in the 90s and so in the 80s and 90s. So I became an Arsenal fan because you sort of had to. Started going to football and realised I absolutely loved it. Mm. And now I could watch almost any sport, I think, apart from motorsport.
Okay.
Noisy, driving around. But and the thing I liked about, I think the Irish, the GAA games, they're so bananas, aren't they? And they're so exciting. There's so much going on.
And the hurling as well. Have you got into that? Have you been watching that?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't want to go. Do you? Perhaps you are a hurler. I don't know.
No. I've watched it. It is. I do enjoy watching both of the GAA games as well.
Me too. And my brother-in-law, who is the I shouldn't really say this, but he's the mascot for Chorley FC.
Oh right.
Oh, I think I'm not meant to say it anyway.
So they know he's in the suit now. It's like Kendo Nagasaki. They're going to unmask him.
Never allowed to wear it again.
I'm probably just ruined his entire career. But he's really good at finding weird channels on the television where you can watch weird, well, not weird sport, but minority sports,
yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah.
So he's very good at setting me up with various, I don't know, kind of Tongan darts.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. I'm going to check out the Tongan darts.
And a great period of time to get into Arsenal, I suppose.
Well, yes and no.
Arsenal,
it's a very fortunate if your geographical circumstances allow you to support Arsenal. And, well, this season, of course, has been a bittersweet experience.
I've just found Chorley's Is it Victor Magpie?
Victor Magpie.
This is Victor Magpie, Charlie.
One for sorrow.
He's got a pink hat on. And some bigger, and wow, that must get hot in there. Magpie,
yeah. Well, he won the Mascots Derby. You know, they do that thing. And Victor Magpie won it. He beat, I think it's a bee or something.
Cyril the Swan, or?
I think it was Gainsborough B, or Gainsborough I can't remember. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, Victor Magpie rules.
Okay, yeah, for life.
So I take it, Richard, you've got other sort of storylines mapped out.
If this
is as successful as the first.
Well, I hope so, yeah. I mean, the book three I'm writing at the moment, and I think I know what I'm going to do in book four.
Well, it's got probably better than you ever expected, has it?
I didn't see this one coming. No, I mean, I've loved reading crime fiction, but hey, folks, it's not the same as writing crime fiction.
Yeah.
And then sort of was badgered into doing it, and now I'm really enjoying it. It's great.
If there's people out there that are thinking, I've always wanted to do that, do you have any advice for them?
Right. I mean, everyone says I've got a novel inside me, and they're probably right, but you've got to get the novel outside you. That's the trick. Mm. And the only way you can do that is by writing. So just write and write and write and write.
And do you, Matt, do you know exactly where the way the story's going, or does stuff evolve as you write it?
It evolves as I write it. I mean, I probably know who's going to kill who and why, but all the characters begin to sort of start becoming a bit more filled out, and then they start wanting to do their own thing, and you feel like a lion tamer waving your whip pathetically at these creatures are going to do their own thing.
Mm. Wow. Now, we spoke to you on the phone a little while ago because you've taken up boxing at quite a tender age, haven't you? So is that continued?
Not so much. No, I had my first boxing lesson and I absolutely loved it. And then I watched the video of me doing it and I thought the paso doble was bad.
Oh, yeah. Never watch yourself doing any sport. It never looks
and
like
some
you
people
think.
Just look great. And then I really enjoyed it. It was so much fun. I had a great coach. But I've moved house now. And actually, my gardener, he's a boxer. So maybe I'll get Ben to take me out for 12 rounds.
Like in the garden, be fantastic. And finish doing the lawn and get the ring out. And
neighbours will please. Have I got the Reverend Richard Cold moving in next door?
Yeah,
I do look
12
like.
Rounds. Ding, ding.
Well, I do look like a vicar boxing. It's not it's not a good look. It's like vicar skateboarding. You don't want to go there.
No. So, the new book, Death in the Parish by the Reverend Richard Coles, is out today, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yeah, publication day. And we should find out who the publishers are, Richard, tell us.
It's Vinefelt Nicholson.
Okay, Vinefelt Nicholson. Nice. And the new one is out today. And of course, the first book, Murder Before Evensong, is still available.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Birthday spread time then. 10 birthdays from this week. Andy has collated them all. He's got a little funny, a little sideways humourable funny for each birthday. And it's the job of myself and Charlie to guess how old all these people are. Please play along at home. We'd love you to. And keep us informed just how well you're doing today at talksport.com. Text 81089 or tweet to TSHNJ. Good afternoon, Andy.
Oh, good afternoon, boys.
So, I say we had a bit of a dialogue during the West Ham game. At that point, I wasn't aware that you turned on them yesterday and was all Fiorentina. But how are you feeling now?
Oh, yes, I'm so pleased for them.
Okay. Such a sincere man.
Really pleased about it, isn't he? Thrilled.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thrilled. Yeah, thrilled. Absolutely.
We had
thrilled.
A lovely afternoon.
That was interesting. What Omid said just now, one of the Chelsea directors maybe tweeting something out sort of around Declan.
Yeah, that's a load of old nonsense. Why would Declan Rice come to Chelsea? Why he wants to go, yes, I just want to play no European football at all. And my best friend's leaving the club. I don't think he's coming to Chelsea.
Oh, okay. Well, you've quite a compelling argument put forward there. I can see the sense in it. You're not going to be the one who's going to twist his arm, clearly. Andy's chats with Declan's agent didn't go well. Don't touch us with a barge pole, Dec. So, somebody needs to keep score, for goodness sake, because we can't. And it's Jeff Peters.
Oh, dear.
I think he's taking his sound effects with him. Wow. I don't think he's in the nerves. It's the Nerve Centre Roadshow. Jeff Peters, Wheels of Steel. Smiley Miley's coming on later.
Chucking out T-shirts on Talk EC.
Yeah.
Not in the normal Nerve Centre today. No. So Charlie won last week. Ending Paul's golden sequence, 4:45. Charlie 26, and the sun is shining outside, as it is back home.
Yes, indeed. So Charlie's going to kick us off. That's the way we alternate, but Charlie will be the first birthday. We need some musical accompaniment. We need a bed, as they say, Radio Land, as Rodney Marsh used to say. And it's supplied every week by Pelé and Sergio Mendes.
Beautiful.
Okay, first birthday to Charlie, then.
Okay, Charlie, it's the cartoonist. He was at the Sunday Times from 1967 to 2017. Gerald Scarfe.
Oh, yeah.
Gerald Scarfe.
Scarfe,
and I don't know if you know this, but Gerald loves a shandy, but always insists on 50% beer and 50% lemonade. It's known as a half and half Scarfe.
Beautiful, nice, yeah.
Gerald Scarfe.
Gerald Scarfe, yeah. Gerald Scarfe.
Well, 85.
That's a good guess, Charlie. I was going to say something very similar.
Thanks.
87. What does that leave us with after the first round, Jeff?
It's Paul 4, Charlie 2.
That's right, because Charlie was 2 years out with his guess. I was 4. It's a pretty simple game.
What a lovely
game. Margin
of
error will build, of course. Next, I lead us off with the second birthday, Andy.
Okay, it's the playwright David Hare.
David Hare.
And he's just completed a marathon, which he ran with my old sports teacher. But David finished hours after him. It was a case of the man that taught us and the hare.
Wow.
Got there in the end.
Got there, yeah.
It was like, there's the bit, so you do it.
Slightly stumbled over that.
I did stumble over it, I did.
The man who taught us.
And the hare.
And the hare.
David Hare's got to be 77.
It's in the right way there, Paul. Yeah, you're in the right way. 78.
76.
Oh,
went the wrong way, but there we are.
We did pretty well,
yeah,
though.
Pretty good.
Pretty well, actually. So, what's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Paul, you were 1 out. You move on to 5. Charlie, 2 out. He moves into 4. 5-4.
5-4. Quite a good game at the moment. Charlie, you lead us off. Here we go. Birthday number 3.
Okay, Charlie. It's the novelist Ken Follett.
Oh.
Ken Follett. And he once, this was quite unfortunate, he once kept me imprisoned in a small metal barred enclosure in his house in France. I don't know how I escaped the Cargot Follett.
Oh,
very nice.
That's what he would say.
That's very good, yeah. Ken Follett.
I've never met a Ken.
It sounds like an old 70s footballer,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Never met a Ken under 50, so I'm starting from there. And I'm going.
Never met a Ken under 50?
You ever met a Ken under 50?
I don't know. I have actually. That's a very good. Yeah, never met a Ken under 50. Kendall Roy. Not a real person.
I don't know who he is. I'm just going off the name and the author. Yeah. I'm going to say 66.
Well, I think Ken Follett might be a bit older than that. But no. I don't know. I'm just guessing. I'll go 78.
Oh.
74.
Okay.
Too bad. Okay. Too bad.
Did all right.
So, what's happened to the scores, Jeff?
Paul, you've taken the lead. You were 4 out. You move on to 9. Charlie, 8 out. On to 12.
Okay. Still very tight. Still a good game.
Good game.
Birthday
very
number
nice
4.
Game.
Back to me. Andy.
Yes, it's the Lady Justice of Appeal from 2013 to 2018. Dame Elizabeth Gloucester. Dame Elizabeth Gloucester. And she loves giving me tipping advice on jump racing. Mm. But apart from the festival, her tips are hopeless. I don't know what it is about Cheltenham and Gloucester.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Happy birthday to her.
Yes. Happy birthday, Dame Elizabeth.
72.
60.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
74. Oh.
74. That was quite a bold play.
I know.
Bold play.
Went for it.
Fortune favours the brave.
Also, that is a cruel bullying sort of laughter, wasn't it?
Do you think so?
It was very like...
Yeah, it was me.
Like a bully,
it's his
wasn't
laugh.
It?
Hashtag be kind, gents.
Yeah. Absolutely grim.
What's that
grim behaviour.
What's that done
Jeff
to the
there
scores?
Well, Charlie was 14 out on that one, so he moves on to 26. Yeah. Paul, 2 out, on to 11.
11, 26. You mean he was like that in the playground,
yeah,
Charlie?
So exactly. No, he would have been
Jeff,
the one
Jeff and
next,
his gang.
Next to
Jeff
the bully.
Jeff and his gang of
no,
them.
Go on, hit him, Big Ken.
Yeah.
Hit him, Big Ken.
Jeff and his gang. He had
hit
a young,
him.
He had a young gang.
Don't hit me. Yeah. Don't hit me.
Oh, Jeff Peters and his gang. They're around. Don't go.
Little
don't,
Jeff
you
Peters.
You can't go down that road, Jeff
Tiny
Peters.
Tiny little
gang.
Jeff Peters.
Yeah, no. Anyway.
Jeffrey, please,
gonna
sir.
Ring my lawyer.
Please, sir, Jeffrey Peters. I've been hit in the eye by Big Ken.
Get on with it.
You're right, Charlie. If you've triggered him now, don't do that. So, what's the next birthday then?
Yes, she may have appeared before.
Oh, okay,
it's
yeah.
The actor Imogen Poots.
Oh,
Imogen
okay.
Poots.
Oh, yes.
And her family have raised fortunes for charity, making the trek from Land's End to John O'Groats several times.
Yeah.
They were born to it. Yeah. These boots were made for walking.
Oh, very nice.
Is that the gang recycled or just the name?
I don't know.
As Jeff's not in the nerve centre, we haven't got that recycling lorry backing away.
Thank
but
God.
We all know it's there, don't we?
The bullying recycling lorry.
What do you think? Imogen Poots.
Is it me?
Yes, you.
I went second before. Imogen...
Tough, isn't it? I'm not sure.
Not got a clue.
Quite a young. Do you know any Imogen's over 50?
Imogen Poots. 30.
It's one of those names that we say, sort of, does she, isn't it? Imogen Poots.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Could you spell Poots on a calculator?
Yeah. Quite. Don't you start again.
9 0 0
No, no, it's leaving. You can't do it.
Something five.
No one's got any calculators. Use their phones, Charlie. 2023, mate. So, Imogen, 42.
Oh, no, 34.
Okay, okay.
Sorry, Pootsie, if you're listening.
No laughter there, I noticed.
Anybody call her Pootsie?
No laughter there, I noticed from Jeff. But there we are.
Alfie Bass might do.
Oh, yeah. What's happened there then, Jeff?
Paul, 8 out onto 19. Yeah. Charlie, 4 out onto 30. So it's 19, 30, 11 in it at the halfway stage.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
A few people having a disastrous birthday spread. Dave in Cardiff having a mare, got Gerald Scarf wrong, and it went downhill from there. Not telling you my score, as you'd only talk about me. That's Dave in Cardiff.
Oh.
There we are. My birthday quiz has been abandoned. As someone came to the door and the dog started barking, so I couldn't hear the radio. Andy, the Chelsea. Is that you, Andy? No. Andy, the Chelsea fan.
So it's 30-19, that's 11 in it. I'm currently in the lead. I will lead us off to start the second half and take it away, Pelé and Sergio Mendes.
OK, he was the chairman of O2 from 2004 to 2006, Sir David Arculus. Sir David Arculus. And we used to be really close, actually, till we fell out over an immersive 3D video game we invented together. It was an Arculus Rift.
Oh,
very nice.
It's oh, he's back.
It's
oh, here he
is. How dare you?
Yeah, I'd say, I don't know, I'm just guessing. I'm just looking at those years. 77.
I think older than that. I'm going to say 80.
Oh,
77. Spot on. What a start.
Now. You know him. Are you friends with him,
Paul? I don't know him at all. No.
That O2 account you've got.
Yeah. No.
Oh, no. Oh, no, dear.
Anyway, so, 14, so I stay on 19, Jeff, clearly.
Yeah, and Charlie, 3 out, moves on to 33.
Okay. It's getting wider, isn't it?
Wider. It gets 14. Very volatile. Here we go, then. Andy, birthday 7.
Okay, it's the chess grandmaster Nigel Short. Nigel Short. Ooh. And he was fielding in the slips, actually, when I hit a full-blooded cut shot, which he snagged full length in the air. I wasn't happy to be caught short.
So Nigel Short, the... It's
difficult, isn't
the
it?
The violinist.
Nigel Short, the violinist.
It's difficult. Right. Nigel Kennedy.
When sports people are at the top of their game, you can normally think what their age is.
Mm.
You know, but with chess players, I don't know when the peak for someone... At chess.
He was quite rock and roll. He was the kind of rock and roll chess player.
He wore jeans, did he?
Yeah, he wore jeans. Yeah.
Had an earring.
Yeah.
62.
Do you know, he probably is up around that. I'll go 59.
Ooh, 58. Your form today, Paul.
Very good.
But that's still quite close. So what's the scores, Jeff?
Paul on to 20, Charlie 37. 17 in it, 3 to go.
It's a lot harder when you're not at home with the paper in front of you.
Here we go then, Andy. Birthday 8.
Okay, Jeff, get the recycling lorry ready. It's the actor David Yip.
Oh, really? It's great to have him back again. I feel like I celebrate his birthday every year. I feel like part of the family.
You didn't even remember how old he was, Paul.
I just forget every time.
Actually, his family did come over to our golf club for the annual pro-am.
Yeah.
And they were so nervous, none of them could even hit it off the tee.
Oh, really?
It's always the same with the Yips.
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
Wow.
Lovely.
Great to have that gag back again.
Gladys Knight and the Yips for next year, maybe.
Thoughtful do a card for that birthday in the birthday spread. They do a special one. I'd say it's me, isn't it? David Yip's got to be 72.
Well, I've no idea who he is.
He was an actor. It was a show called The Chinese Detective. It was a big TV show.
You said 72.
Yeah.
I've got 17 to get back. 75.
72.
Oh, wow. Joking. I'm having a good day.
I mean, this is someone you've done for the last 2 or 3 years. Every single year, David.
Ever since we've
It would just be in your core memory anyway.
Well,
it's a bit silly having...
You think it's subliminal?
It's a bit silly having ones you've had before so tight to it, isn't it?
Well, I can take him out if you want.
I think you should. I mean, maybe for this year you should have, to be honest.
What's the score?
You do it every year.
I've got a spare if you want it.
Absolutely dreadful.
Do you want...
It's Paul 20, Charlie 40, and it is the third year in a row that we've had this name and that joke. But Charlie...
wonder how you got it spot on.
Yeah, listen.
Charlie, listen. You were on the spread the same as Paul for the last 2 years, so Paul has no advantage.
Shot me your own gun. Okay.
Coming at me with facts.
Spitting facts. Okay, next up then, Jeff. Oh, not Jeff. No. I prefer his gags. No, of course not. Andy, what's next, Andy?
Okay, she's new to the birthday spread. I'm delighted.
Wow, that's good news. Great news. Makes a change.
It's Dame Siobhan Keegan, the Chief Justice of Northern Ireland.
Okay.
And we were playing a cricket match, actually, against the English courts, and she was desperate to win it. She said, I'd love it, really love it, if we beat them.
Okay.
And, of course, she also offered heading advice to Winston Churchill.
Yeah, oh, blood, that is so in. No one's going to get that. Even I'm struggling. So what do you think, Charlie?
Oh, it's me, is it?
Siobhan Keegan.
Oh, I've no idea.
Chief Justice of Ireland. Still in service,
Andy?
I believe so, yeah.
Chief Justice of Ireland, 63.
That's a good shout. It's not the sort of gig you get when you're about 22, is it? We shouldn't really. Doogie Howser, Chief Justice. 60.
52.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, fair play.
Do you know what I've written on my piece of paper here? 54. And I didn't say it. I thought, no, that's too young.
Go with your gut.
I won't say it.
Go with your gut, Charlie. Okay,
what's
the scores, Jeff?
Terrible match.
Paul, 8 out onto 28. Yeah. Charlie, 11 out onto 51. So 23 in it. There needs to be a 24 swing.
A 24 pointless. Swing. Here we go, then.
Who cares?
Okay.
24 swing.
She was the author of The Night Watchman. Louise Erdrich.
Oh,
Louise
yeah.
Erdrich.
Wow. Oh, right.
And I always deliberately avoided reading her work. It was a boycott Nerdrich.
Louise Nerdrich. See, Charlie, that couldn't be a better birthday for you at this stage. I haven't got a clue.
Not
she
a clue.
Is. Louise Nerdrich.
Have you ever heard of The Night Watchman?
No,
the
I
book?
Haven't. Have you heard it? I mean, she could be anything. I've just, wow.
I think my dad used to study it at school, I think. It's quite an old book.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go, I've got 24 to play with. I'm going to go 65. So
41.
69.
Oh,
sorry.
Pointless game.
Oh, what a
pointless
hammering.
Match. No one enjoyed it.
So I finished on 50. what did I finish on, Jeff?
No one enjoyed it. May as well have just played
32.
Just like a continuous monotone.
32, 79.
Right.
Paul leads Charlie 46-26.
Yeah, I was put off by Jeff. I was put off by Jeff laughing.
You never quite recovered after that, did you? I saw your old bottom lip going.
You see, it just went.
It did, honestly.
It shouldn't be at that sort of thing. It's just gamesmanship.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Myself and Andy will reconvene tomorrow. We'll be building up the Champions League final live on TalkSport on Saturday. Stan Collymore among our guests doing just that. Lots of other stuff besides, including the clips of the week. Do hope you can join us from 1. If not, the podcast will be available around 4.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.